Hello, and welcome back to the Embracing a Simpler Life podcast. I'm so glad you're here with us today, and I'm very excited to be interviewing Leanne Dutton with Intentional by Grace. Hello, Leanne.
Hello.
I have been following along with Leanne's blog ever since I first started following any blogs, actually, which was about 3 or 4 years ago, and I just loved your message for women to go deeper in their faith. So that is why I brought you on today. We're going to be talking about spiritual disciplines, which is something that Leanne loves to talk about on her blog. But first, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I can. Well, I am. Thank you for having me here today, first of all. And I'm Leanne Dutton, as you said, and I blog over at intentionalbygrace.com. I am married to Mark Dutton. We've been married for almost 10 years, and we have 3 children together, who 7, 4, and 1. Yeah, they've just changed ages, so.
That's tough.
That's always tough to keep them straight. But I have 2 boys and a little girl, 7, 4, and 1. And yeah, so we're pretty busy.
And it's kind of fun because our children are right around the same age, and mm-hmm. we both have 3, and we both homeschool, and we're both bloggers, and have a passion for ministry online and in our homes. So it's fun. So how did you become passionate about teaching women spiritual disciplines?
You know, it was funny because I hadn't really considered myself somebody who was teaching women spiritual disciplines until you kind of sent me some prep work ahead of time. So I kind of have these questions and I was thinking through them, and I was telling Mark, my husband, earlier, I was like, you know, I think she might've just defined my ministry because I've been trying to really capture, like, because when I began Intentional by Grace, it was all about intentional living. And I understood that I wanted to help teach women to be intentional with their lives and not just, you know, let life happen to them, but to be purposeful, to pursue, pursue life intentionally. And then the by grace kind of came in as I was still pretty new in my faith, without realizing I was pretty new in my faith at the time, that I wanted it to be biblically informed intentional living. And so the ministry has kind of grown from that, but that initial just prick of my own heart to say, you know, I want to be intentional, and by teaching others is one of the best ways to be held accountable, right?
Absolutely.
That's where it sort of started in my mind. And so as it's grown and as it's developed, it has turned into more of a teaching of the spiritual disciplines. And I really like that. So thank you. You might see a little bit more focus coming in at Intentional by Grace now that I actually have a word for it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, but with that said, I don't think that this was anything that I just woke up one day and decided to be passionate about. We are in a Bible study right now with a few couples. And this week we were walking through the Gospel of Mark, and in chapter 3, we find him calling his disciples. And it really struck me. And I want to read it here because I think that it gives definition to why I'm passionate about this. So Jesus has just been with a crowd, and now he is headed up a mountain, up on the mountain, and he is going to call his disciples. And I just want to kind of read that to kind of set the stage here of how I believe I became passionate about the spiritual disciplines. So in Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 13, "And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons." So when we were studying this week, I was very hyper focused on the fact that he called them to be with him, that he might send them. So you first have to be with Christ. But as we kind of dialogued in community, it came to all of our attention that the initial thing was that he called them because he desired them. And so I believe that Christ called me as his daughter, and he desired me, and he desires to be in a relationship with me. And the only way we can grow in relationship with people or with Christ is to be with them. And how we are with Christ now is to dwell with him through his word and through the Holy Spirit. So to answer your question, like, how did I become passionate about teaching women? I think it's just, it spawns from a fact that God called me, that Christ died for me. Mm-hmm. And he not only died, but he lived for me. He lived the perfect life. And then he died on the cross for my sins. And then he rose again, and he's ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. And he has sent me the Holy Spirit in his place, which he said to his disciples is far greater than he. And it's far more helpful to us to have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us than to have Christ in his bodily form. So that's the initial passion, is that I'm called. But also, I think the second part of that is there's implications for all of us here, because now that we are in Christ, we want to mature in Christ. And so we can only mature in Christ by practicing the spiritual disciplines, I think. So Amen. Teaching it, it's just an overflow of just that conviction, I think.
Yeah. It's interesting hearing you tell that story, because my blog is Embracing a Simpler Life. And it kind of started out as an intentional living or simple living blog. And I always knew that the reason that I wanted to live simply was because this world is passing away, and that the kingdom of God is urgent, and, right. you know, eternity is at hand. And that's right. why it made sense to me to live simply. But to see that kind of morph over time in my message, and like you said, just realizing the calling of God, and how it's really fun to talk about things that have these eternal, lasting implications, and to be able to push that message out, the message of the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit right. and Christ, the gospel.
Right.
So what do spiritual disciplines look like on a practical level for our listeners?
That's a great question. And I think what's important to do, I think I want to back up just a little bit and actually define spiritual disciplines, because you hear that word. And I know that when I was a new Christian, what the heck are these people talking about? What's a spiritual discipline? Like, what is that? And so, in his book, Spiritual Disciplines by Donald Whitney, he defines it. And I think in a way that's just so simplistic that I'm just going to quote him from that book. So the spiritual disciplines are those personal and corporate disciplines that promote spiritual growth. They are habits of devotion and experiential Christianity that have been practiced by the people of God since biblical times. So it's those things that we do in our personal and in our corporate lives, which means in community, that promote spiritual growth. And some spiritual disciplines are things like Bible intake, hearing the word of God preached, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, memorizing the word of God, meditating on the word of God, applying the word of God. And then there's also spiritual disciplines like prayer and fasting and worship, evangelism. All of those things are spiritual disciplines. All of those things are are ways in which we grow personally in Christ so that we can share him with others. So defining it is an important first step of understanding what disciplines are, what the spiritual disciplines are. But practically, I think it begins to just, let's just take a look at what Jesus's ministry was as he walked this earth. And as he walked, by the way, as he was with his disciples, how did he live out the spiritual disciplines? And so I think if I'm looking at my own personal life, it's just the spiritual disciplines are all encompassing, really. And I think even in defining what the spiritual disciplines are, like, it's reading your Bible, it's praying to the Lord, and fasting and worship and evangelism.
So what would you say you've had to give up in your life in order to stay disciplined in your walk with God? Because I know the term spiritual discipline implies that this is not something that is going to be easy all the time, or right. there might be some give and take or some sacrifice that we make for the deeper, better thing.
Right.
Have you seen that in your life?
Yeah. That's such a great question. It's actually a really incredible question that can make you I think when you think of what you give up, you initially start thinking of fleshly things, right? You start saying, well, I've had to get up earlier, or I've had to stop doing X, Y, Z, or, and I think it's really easy to get caught up in those fleshly and worldly things that you've had to sacrifice. But at the core of it, I think that what we end up having to sacrifice itself, and it's your idea of what the spiritual disciplines should look like. As I was thinking, you know, it's funny because as women, I think let's just talk about it as women, we tend to, or in people in general, we tend to compartmentalize our spirituality. We go to church on Sunday, we read our Bibles in the mornings, we pray during this time, and we begin to compartmentalize these things. And so what I've had to sacrifice is my idea of what spiritual disciplines should look like. Mm. I've had to sacrifice my ideas and my ideals of what they should look like. And so now, speaking specifically with women, it's stereotypical. So let's just go with this understanding that this is stereotypical, that as women, we tend to, we pride ourselves on multitasking, and we think that, but we also know that we've studied time management enough to know that everybody says multitasking is inefficient and ineffective. You should focus on one thing at a time. Well, I have found in my own personal life that the only time I really tried to apply that principle of focusing on one thing at a time is in my spiritual life. And I compartmentalized it to say, during this time, I should just be doing Bible reading. And in this time, I will be praying. And my children should be perfectly obedient and stay in their room so that I can do it. For some reason, multitasking doesn't carry over into that, does it? You know, but other times we can say, oh, we're great multitaskers, but not with this. We're not even going to try to multitask there, because mm-hmm. the people say you shouldn't be multitasking. So that was humbling to me to realize I am, even in those things, tempted to compartmentalize the spiritual disciplines to say that has to fit into a perfect mold. So with that, I think we have to just shift our focus. And I had to just shift my focus from it being about how it should look as a task to how it should look lived out in my daily life, with the focus on people and the gospel.
I love that. There is a man in my Bible study group who shared something with me that has really resonated, because I think I was kind of learning this at the same time. But he said, so many people think that God should be your top priority. Make God your top priority. But really, God is so much more than your top priority. He's not one of your priorities. He is everything. He's your life. So it's not about, like you're saying, compartmentalizing, this is my time with God, now I'm going to go live my life. It's walking in obedience in everything, and walking in step with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And I think just asking ourselves, why do I want to practice the spiritual disciplines? You know, the Olympics are going on now. And so, you know, that they understand, like, the purpose of them sacrificing their bodies and training so hard, they have an ultimate purpose and an ultimate goal in mind. Hmm. And if we translate that into our spiritual lives, if our focus is just to be better Christians or to do the right things, that is not motivating enough, because it's the wrong motivation. If our motivation is to know Christ and to glorify Christ and glorify God with our lives, we pursue the spiritual disciplines. 1 Timothy 4:7 says to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And the purpose of godliness is because God is a holy God. We cannot be in His presence apart from Christ. And we can't be like Christ unless we're dwelling with Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I think that as we think about what we have to sacrifice to do it, we're just asking the wrong questions. We're looking at it all the wrong way. And I think for me, I had to finally put to death that this isn't about me. This is about God.
Yeah.
And this is about a holy God and a righteous God and a good, good God who loves me and desired me, as we just read in the Gospel of Mark. He desired me and He called me and He called you. And the people listening, you know, we all have the opportunity. He's calling us, and we have the option to respond or not.
When I have grown in my understanding of the two things you're talking about, the holiness of God and His love for me, that's the thing that undoes me. That is truly the thing that makes all of this possible, to say all these seeking pleasures that I could have, they just don't hold any appeal to me anymore because there's such a bigger picture, and it's the picture of the gospel and the picture of eternity.
Yeah, that's good.
So speaking of eternity, that's kind of the theme of this podcast. So I want to ask this question. You've been expressing this in every answer that you've given, but let's just revisit it again.
Okay.
Why does this matter eternally?
Yeah, it matters immensely for eternity. And I believe that the spiritual disciplines are one of the ways that we can be, for lack of better words, and I hope we'll flesh this out a little bit more, but it's a faith assurance. When we're practicing the spiritual disciplines, when we're reading the Bible, when we're applying what God is teaching us, when we're praying, when we're evangelizing, when we're worshiping, when we're stewarding our finances to the glory of God, all of those things are a testament to the work God has done in us. So eternally it matters because it's an assurance of faith. And if we're not practicing these things, in the Gospel of John, in chapters 13 and 14, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples, and he's teaching them. He's washing their feet, and he's explaining to them that somebody's going to betray him. And not just one somebody, not just Judas Iscariot that we all think about, but Peter, the one in which he knows he's going to build his church on. But a disciple of Christ is also going to betray him that night and deny him three times. And so he's teaching his disciples. He's talking to his disciples. And the overarching message, if you read through the verses, chapters 13 and 14, is that if you love me, you will do what I command. Mm-hmm. If you do not love, if you do not do what I command, then you don't love me. Mm-hmm. And the entire book of 1 John, the letter of 1 John, it's a book about the assurity of your faith and how it looks in your life. Like, your life should be changed. It should look different. You should be pursuing the things of Christ if you are in Christ. And if you are not in Christ, then this matters so much eternally because you are separated from God. Hmm. It's heaven or hell. It's a matter of heaven or hell and where you fall on this spectrum. And if you're not operating within Christ, and you're not operating out of the spiritual discipline, if those things are not flowing out of your life, then I always encourage people to say, take a look at your faith. Are you really in Christ?
Yeah.
Are you really in Christ? And this isn't a works-based righteousness, which is why I want to encourage anybody listening to, if you're getting confused hearing, you know, she sounds like she's just saying you just need to do. No. Go read John 13 and 14, and you can hear it from Christ himself. Just be with him. Let his word transform you. Hmm. And there should be evidence, because if you're not living out what you are reading, then there's a question of salvation here.
Amen. That's powerful. And I love the verse where Jesus says, if you love me, you will do what I commanded. You will obey.
Yeah.
And if you really look at, in summary, what did he command? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It's really this beautiful, joyful circle of love, of him loving us and us loving him in return. And when we love God, we're going to love others. We're going to overflow, really. It's not a running dry trying to meet all these requirements and check all these boxes. It's an overflow of relationship.
Right. That's good.
So I feel like we've talked very deep level. Yeah. Sure. And I really want to give our listeners something actionable. So maybe right now you could either suggest a first step, like baby steps into spiritual disciplines, or you could suggest some resources on your blog or other books or resources that you would like to recommend. And then I can link to all that in the show notes.
Okay. That's great. Well, I think a first very simple but very important step in getting started, diving in here, is to pray. And hey, that's a bonus tip. You're actually you're doing a spiritual discipline if you pray. But the first step is to pray and ask the Lord to give you a desire for him and to give you a desire to grow in the spiritual disciplines. And that is not a prayer that will ever return void. Mm. So that would be the first very easy, very simple step, is to pray and ask the Lord to give you that desire. As far as a resource, I would definitely highly, 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 highly recommend Donald Whitney's book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, I believe is the name of it. It has a study guide that goes with it, which is a pretty good one. We are at Intention by Grace right now. We'll be in this book club meeting once a week through the first week of May. So I don't know when this will go live, but if it's in that time frame, then I would highly encourage them to check out the book club, even if it's just to catch up and dive in right where we're at. But we're walking through his book one chapter at a time, kind of diving in. And once a week, we're talking about it live in the Facebook group right now. And that's been really highly fruitful, even for me, to continue to dive in. And because the thing is with the spiritual disciplines is that it's a lifelong journey. You know, you can understand that you should read the Bible more, but you're just getting started. So you just start and know that it's like an onion. You're going to unpeel this onion little bits at a time, and there's layer after layer after layer. So the book club we have going on, and his book in general, even if you don't join the book club, is a great resource and reference tool. And I want to make sure I say that, because it is one of those books that you'll stick on the shelf. You'll probably read it through the first time you get it and be really overwhelmed. And so I would say just pick one or two spiritual disciplines that he talks about and just focus on those for a little while. Then go back and read again and see what the Lord leads you to dive deeper into the next time. So
that's cool. I am going to have to get that book.
It's a really incredible
amazing
book. Yeah. And like I said, I've had this, well, I haven't said this to you guys, but somebody gave that book to me when I had just begun I believe that I was saved when I was 14 and I understood my need for a savior. And I asked, you know, the Lord to forgive me of my sins. I felt the weight of my sins and I understood that Jesus had died for me. And so I believe I was saved when I was 14, but I think I didn't make him Lord of my life until I was 24. So 10-year period gap there. And when I was 24, I just, by the grace of the Lord, was in a church that was really keen on spiritual disciplines and teaching and discipling their congregants up in maturity in Christ. And so they gave us, I was in the singles ministry at the time, they gave us a copy of Donald Whitney's book. And I read that and I was so overwhelmed by it. But I have had that book for 10 years now. And it is probably the most well-worn book on my shelf next to my Bible. So it's a really great resource.
That's a great recommendation. So everyone listening, go get that book and join Leanne's book club. This is going to go live in February.
So, oh, awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's still plenty of time to get it. We're only in, we've only covered a few chapters by the time that goes live then. So we're still in the very beginnings. And there's 13 chapters.
Okay. And I also want to ask this, because I know that you have written about this on your blog. If someone is listening right now and they are feeling really stirred to pick up their Bible, but maybe they're not in a good groove right now, or maybe they've never really read it. I don't know where you're at. Where would you recommend them to start?
That's a great question. And I do have a blog post on kind of where to start reading your Bible, especially if you've never even really encountered the Bible in general, or if you've never read it as a big story, because the whole Bible is, you know, telling the one big story of Jesus, the Messiah, but it's broken up into something called a meta-narrative. And so all of the books of the Bible fit into that in some way. But if you're just getting started, I would definitely recommend starting in one of the Gospels. I always recommend Mark, the Gospel of Mark. It is the shortest Gospel, but it was also believed by historians to be the first Gospel written, and all of the other Gospels had that one. All the other Gospel writers had the Gospel of Mark with them when they were writing their own. So the Gospel of Mark is a great place to start if you're just getting started reading the Bible. But I do have a blog post on my blog with basic, not an entire order of how to read the Bible, but some tips for getting started. And I'll pass those over to you.
Yes.
To
that would
put
be
in the show notes.
Fantastic. And at the end of last year, I challenged podcast listeners to read the Bible through in a year. And I know that actually quite a few are doing that for the very first time right now. And I'm doing it as well in a chronological order.
Yeah.
And it has been so humbling to see the holiness of God. I mean, I'm struggling with it. It is so beyond what I can understand. And it is amazing, the bigness of God and how much greater His plan is than our single life.
Right. You just said something that reminded me of something I say so often now, is that the more I grow in the Lord, the more I see my inadequacy. Hmm. But the more I don't know. You look at people, and I can think of, I can think of several people who have been mentors in my life and are now. And I'm like, how did they get where they are? And then they'll often tell me, you know, I still don't know a lot. There's still a lot I don't know. And I think the more we grow in the Lord, the more we realize we don't know. And so I think that's one thing to keep in mind. Like, don't get discouraged if you're saying there's still so much I don't know. Like, it's like a can of worms in a way, that just gets opened. And I think that's sort of the point.
Yeah.
Because you can't quantify God. He is not quantifiable, and He's not even figure outable, as I dub that word, figure outable. I don't know if that's a real word or not. But
I like it.
Probably not.
Let's dub it right here, right now. All right. Well, we have said this, but why don't you just tell us again the best way for listeners to connect with you online?
Yeah, definitely my blog, intentionalbygrace.com, and signing up for the email list. That is my hub. That's the way I get information out. That's where you can find out. I'm on Instagram. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Facebook. I'm in all those places. You can find me, intentionalbygrace.com, or just my name, searching my name, Leanne Dutton.
Thank you so much, Leanne. This has been amazing. I love everything that you've shared, and I know I am very edified. I hope that our listeners are too, and that we can all go out with a renewed motivation to really put feet to our relationship with God and to put some work in and to seek Him while we have the opportunity.
Yeah, that's good. He's worth it. And thank you for having me. It was a privilege to be here.